The name of the sermon, we're in the Psalms. Number 9, it's Psalm 83.
And let us stand for the reading of the opening scripture. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. You may be seated. This was Psalm 64, Psalm of David, verses 1 through 10. In the news, I thought this was sort of an interesting story. The George Floyd Autonomous Zone issues rules for white people. Now, what if we said rules for blacks? Didn't we used to have rules for blacks? Or rules for this group or that group? Anyway, it's by Paul Joseph Watson. The George Floyd Autonomous Zone in Minneapolis has issued a list of rules for white people that they have to abide by in order to enter the area. The zone has popped up around the area that Floyd died and has come to resemble something akin to a religious cult encampment. Apparently, baptisms, miracles, and other spiritual events can be witnessed on a regular basis. However, entering the area as a white person comes with potential risks. If you make the mistake of behaving in a quote-unquote problematic manner, all visitors are asked to wear a face mask and act with humility. But a lengthier list of rules for white people explains how they will be treated differently. The rule sign to the autonomous zone has additional rules for white people. Since forming, the area has seen increased violence, criminal activity, drug abuse, and even murder. Whites are asked to, quote, decenter yourself, end quote, which is a euphemism for a mandate to behave like second-class citizens and keep quiet. Quote, be mindful of whether your volume, pace, and movements are supporting or undermining your efforts to decenter yourself, end quote, states the advisory. The patronizing tone continues with a demand to, quote, contribute to the energy of the space rather than drain it, end quote. The rules also state that white people should seriously consider whether taking photos is appropriate and to seek consent from anyone they photograph, despite the whole area being public. The rules also encourage whites to intervene if they, quote, witness white folks doing problematic things, end quote, which presumably includes doing anything other than engaging in slavish worship for the 21st century deity that is George Floyd. Black Lives Matter groups routinely issue demands of white people for their events, some of which enforce outright segregation. And that's the end of the article. So, how about that? So they want us to love and adore the dark race, but hate and deny our own. Let's take a look at Psalm 64. In the scripture we read, David's meditation or complaint. See how evil loves to plot in secret against God and his people. Ever hear of secret societies, the Freemasons? What about government agencies like the CIA and NSA? Presidents like to speak about their quote-unquote openness before the public, while the complete opposite is true. The Democrats secretly plotted a steal of the election. They were the real insurrectionists or revolutionaries, not the Trump supporters of January 6th. And where is the cry of police brutality over the death of Ashley Babbitt, who came through a window at the Capitol and was shot? What is the name of the shooter who killed her? Why isn't it made known? Ah, we have a new administration in Washington. And even if some Trump supporters exhibited limited violence, was it not justifiable under the present conditions of clear vote manipulation, the refusal of the courts, and a vice president who did not have the guts to have certain states recertify their fraudulent elections? Knowing American history, wouldn't our founding fathers have agreed and been very angry? Wasn't it an insurrection when we broke away from the King George? Besides, there were no guns at the so-called Trump insurrection, end quote. How can one have an insurrection without guns? Verses 1 through 6 of this psalm are David's petition for preservation. His enemies, the wicked, quote, whet their tongues like swords and aim bitter words like arrows, shooting suddenly in ambush at the blameless. Some interpret these words as references to the casting of curses or spells by those who practice black magic. Which reminds me, aren't masks magic? Masks, according to their ads, are supposed to, quote, unquote, make us one. Yes, quote, unquote, reunite the world. As if it were ever united in the first place. Did you ever see such a concerted ad campaign by all media and willing corporations to convince the public to take a medical device? Which reminds me, I even got a call yesterday. The phone lit up, said Campbell County, so I didn't answer it. And they left the message on my machine, and they were giving away free vaccines, and I don't even live in Campbell County. But it's next door to me. And they gave the place and the phone number and the location where you could get this free vaccine. Never. This is a first. Others hold that these word pictures in the psalm refer to malicious slander. The troublemakers are certainly guilty of both, as they talk of laying snares secretly and think that no one knows about their schemes. One translation puts verse 6 this way, quote, they devise wicked schemes, saying, we have completed our plans, hiding them deep in our hearts. Psalm 64, verse 6, International Standard Version. It reminds me of the deep state. But their schemes are not hidden from the omniscient one. Speaking of David's plea for preservation, we should ask, is God a nationalist? God Almighty is neither Republican or Democrat. That's our job. But if we could judge him on his policies, we can see he is a great statesman for the preservation of national righteousness. We usually call it conservatism. Let's briefly look at some of the issues. Abortion. Psalm 22:10 says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. End quote. God's covenant nation, Amos 3:2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Open borders, Nehemiah 2:17. Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of reproach. End quote. Also from Deuteronomy 28:43-44, quote, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. End quote. Also from Exodus 23:33, quote, they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. End quote. What about a candidate for public service? Deuteronomy 17:15. Quote, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. End quote. How about marriage? Deuteronomy 7:3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. End quote. And the death penalty, Genesis 9:6, quote, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. End quote. Yes, God is a nationalist. And furthermore, since his law is supreme, that makes other laws either subservient or void in his sight. Many modern Americans would call this extremism. But ask yourselves, was it extremism when the 13 colonies of America revolted against King George of England? Was it extremism when the southern states seceded from the oppressive taxation of the United States? Was it extremism when the Third Reich picked itself up by its bootstraps from the oppression of the Versailles Treaty following the Great War to end all wars? No. Extremism in defense of liberty is no extremism at all. The Bible also tells us, quote, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. End quote from Nehemiah 4:14. Personally, I would like to see some of our people in the streets with signs of Bible verses, shortened of course, such as shown above, in opposition to the left. We need pushback. It will encourage others. In verses 7 through 9, David's petition is granted. Those interpreters who see the wicked as sorcerers that cast magic spells understand these verses as a counter curse or an imprecation uttered by the psalmist. But this may not be the case here, because the psalmist is certain that his prayer has already been answered. God will recompense the wicked suddenly, verse 7, with their own weapons, their own arrows and tongues. This deliverance will cause even those outside of Israel to fear God. Quote, the righteous shall rejoice, end quote, verse 10. The psalmist calls upon all those in covenant relation with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to rejoice in glory and his triumph over the evildoers. Next, let's take a look at Psalm 83. A song or psalm of Asaph. It is a community lament. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assur also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. And at this point, the choir stops while the orchestra plays on. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the burning a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, and this was the King James Version used at this time. It's the Tetragrammaton, which is the YHWH of modern Hebrew, which the King James usually translates Lord. But of course, all we need is G for Jesus of the Paleo Hebrew. Yes, Jesus art the most high over all the earth. End quote from this psalm. The psalm was composed on the occasion described in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where we learn that a great crisis is threatening the people of God. It was written to be sung before the battle in anticipation of certain victory. The Levites chanted it as Jehoshaphat's army marched out against the great confederacy of nations, which threatened the very existence of Israel. There were strong reasons for God's intervention, for Israel's foes were God's foes also. His people were the target of a crafty conspiracy. Were they not his hidden ones, as verse 3 mentioned? Should a hostile world pluck them from the hollow of his hand when our life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3? We may confidently appeal for his safekeeping. This is the last of the Psalms of Asaph. The author was probably, quote, Jesahiel, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, end quote, upon whom, quote, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregations, end quote, from 2 Chronicles 20:14. In 2 Chronicles 20:19, we read that, quote, the Levites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high, end quote. This was likely the psalm they sang. Let's take a look at the prayer of King Jehoshaphat. Since the setting of our psalm is the time of King Jehoshaphat, let us notice the prayer of the king as found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. End quote from 2 Chronicles 25 through 12. What a great and to the point prayer from a national leader. Why don't we have any leaders like this? Our corrupt politicians usually get a corrupt Judeo minister to say a prayer. Then Jehazael, by the Spirit of the Lord, said this, quote, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. 2 Chronicles 20:15. Jehazael continued in verse 17, quote, ye shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. End quote. Then you should notice what the king did. In verse 18, quoting, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. End quote. 2 Chronicles 20:18-19. Here is what happened. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. 2 Chronicles 20:20-22. Victory was theirs. After the very brief appeal to God in verse 1 of this psalm, the reasons for the appeal are laid out in verses 2 to 8. God's enemies show their hostility to him by plotting against his protected and treasured people. Their plot against God is the conspiracy to obliterate the name of Israel from remembrance on the earth. Note today that many of our people are being vaccinated with a slow death bioweapon to reduce the population of our land and have them replaced with illegal aliens. Someone needs to stand up against it. The conspirators in the psalm include Edom, located south of the Dead Sea, and the Ishmaelites, Hagarites, and Amalekites. Gibel, a mountain district close to Petra. Philistia, Tyre, and Assyria, that's the Assur, earlier known as the Assyrian Empire. And the children of Lot, that's Moabites and Ammonites, as the chief enemies who are supported by the other nations or tribes. These people still live on today in the Arab and Jewish ethnicities. The quote-unquote elite, as they think themselves to be, include Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, etc., and it is quite a list. They are also the ones coming across our southern border as alleged quote-unquote refugees. An imprecation on the conspirators. The next section in our scripture. Israel prays that God will destroy their present enemies as he bestowed the Canaanites by Deborah and Barak in Judges 4 to 5 and the Midianites by Gideon in Judges 7 and 8. Jabin was king of Canaan and Sisera was his general. Their army was defeated at the river Kishon and the city of Jabin was eventually destroyed. Endor is south of Mount Tabor. Oreb and Zeb were Midianite princes. Zeba and Zalmunna were former kings of Midian. Various expressions are used to make the curse upon these enemies vivid. Whirling dust, chaff driven by the wind, a forest fire, a hurricane, and shame. One purpose of the curse is that survivors may acknowledge Israel's God, whose name alone is Jesus, the Most High over all the earth, Psalm 83:18. The prophet Isaiah also makes the same claim. Quote, "Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only," end quote, from Isaiah 37:20. By way of conclusion, as David prayed, quote, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity," Psalm 64:2. As Jehoshaphat prayed, quote, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee," end quote. Chronicles 20:12. As Jehoshaphat, son of Asaph, prayed and sung, quote, "O God, hold not thy peace and be not still," Psalm 83:1. As Jesus Christ is, quote, "the Most High over all the earth," from Psalm 83:18. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, today we are once again helpless and at your mercy. Hear our prayer, O Lord. And at this time, I'm going to sing Psalm 83, the version by Isaac Watts. And will the God of grace perpetual silence keep? The God of justice hold his peace and let his vengeance sleep. Behold what cursed snares the men of mischief spread. The men that hate thy saints and thee lift up their threatening head. Against thy hidden ones their counsels they employ, and malice with her watchful eye pursues them to destroy. Come, let us join, they cry, to root them from the ground, till not the name of saints remain, nor memory shall be found. Awake, Almighty God, and call thy wrath to mind. Give them like forest to the fire, or stubble to the wind. Then shall the nations know that glorious, dreadful word. Jehovah is thy name alone, and thou the sovereign Lord. Amen. Thank you.